is up, everybody? Hope you had a wonderful Christmas. Now we're in the lull of the holiday season.
Some people have to go back to work.
Some people do. It's tough.
Yeah.
Like, you got that vacation mode, and you're just like, I don't want to work. And then you do.
Yeah.
I feel like I had a job once where they gave you that whole week off.
I had a job once.
You know, I had a lot of jobs.
Yeah, where they give you the week
off. Diligent
worker.
Yeah, they kind of just shut down. Yeah. They were just like, you're not going to really work, people. And then I have other jobs. Well, in my sales jobs, I would always go back to work.
Yeah.
It's tough. Mm-hmm. Whenever I was in sales, I never really used my vacations.
Really?
Not as much, yeah.
Why? You were just like, I got to
get ahead.
Well,
if you're not selling, you're not making money.
Oh, that's true.
You know, you're on salary, but it's just... Yeah, I had to get better at taking vacation. And then when you take vacation, you're still working.
Yeah. So all you people, you know, driving to work right now, not feeling it.
Well, for those who have to go back to work, we're here
we're
for
here
you.
We're here for you.
Because we know you're not really going to be working. Just hang out with us. Yeah. Then text your friends. Be like, oh my God, are you working too? Listen to this podcast. It'd be great.
So thank you for my Christmas gift.
You're welcome.
Nick got me a computer.
You did. I did.
I felt like it was like I was on the Oprah show. You get a computer.
You get a computer. Well, you've been a wonderful producer, and you use your computer for work. And you mentioned that you need a new computer. So I felt like it was an appropriate gift for someone who was working very hard.
I took it to the Apple store. They're like, this is an amazing gift. The workers.
But I just said... Just give them the same one I got.
Yeah, I think I might get there's a new 16-inch.
Great, yeah.
Or wait, I'm always the type of person that wants to wait till the next best thing comes
out.
But
you, did you already,
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did.
Because you had a certain number of days.
But don't you think that's a problem of always thinking the next best thing is coming out?
Well, in life, sure, especially when at the Apple store, I bought my iPhone 2 days before the new one came out.
I mean, that was bad on your part.
I mean, whatever, it's still like new. And I think it's a little different with computers.
Yeah, I think so too.
Anyways.
But even boyfriends, you can always be waiting for the next best thing.
That is true. Great segue, Rochelle. I feel like guys more think that way.
Guys definitely think that
way. Like, yeah, well, she's hot.
We're like, this is fine.
Women are just like, I mean, he's alive. He's fine. He likes me. Yeah. He likes me. This is all that matters. Guys, not so much.
Not so much.
Anyways, we have another great episode of Ask Nick. We always appreciate you listening. Hopefully to get you through the Christmas hangover right into New Year's Eve. Come back
on the taint of the holidays.
The taint of the holidays, if you will. Yeah. We're here for you. Come back on Wednesdays. Wells Adams joins us to talk about and help us ring in the new year.
And what?
We are here on New Year's Day.
We are.
We don't take breaks. We don't take vacations. Quite like me in sales. You know?
Right, yeah.
I don't really have vacation days to take, but I guess I could.
You need to start living your life.
Nah, it's overrated. I'm here. I live my life through the audience. That's sad. That's pathetic. Anyways, Wells Adams helps us bring in the new year. So hang out with us on Wednesdays. We're here for you. Until then, enjoy. That's Nick.
What's your time with Nick? Let's ask Nick your sexy questions.
How's it going?
All right. Hey, I'm Meredith Cavalier, and I'm 28 from Virginia.
All right, Meredith, 28. How are you?
I'm great. I just thought, first of all, you might want to fire your assistant for not doing a better vetting process, because I'm a big Caitlin Bristow vino.
That's fine.
Yeah. Oh, no. Are you talking? He should fire me? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that would be Rochelle. well, no, did you not listen to the Caitlin episode? I mean, we're like team KB and NV right now.
I actually like it. I appreciate it a lot, actually. Okay.
I'm wearing a Duedit scrunchie. Look.
Nice. I would normally wear one like every day, but you know, work.
Anyways, out of respect for the show, I guess, right?
Right. Well, I listened to your podcast with her, and I didn't listen to her live show with you, so
Does that say you
I don't
like
know how that went.
My show better or her? Anyways, how can we help you, Meredith?
Okay, so I just have a little relationship question. I've been in a relationship with my man friend for almost 3 years.
Man friend,
like. And we, you know, talk about marriage a little bit, but we're kind of in a situation where our finances don't match up completely. So he's kind of, you know, he's talking about wanting, you know, if we ever do get married, definitely get a prenup.
Okay.
Where
I read this email.
I'm on the fence about it, and I understand where he's coming from financially, you know, in the future, but also I'm trying to not really go into a marriage on a business transaction where
I get it.
I'd rather maybe, you know, wait for kids and get a post-nup.
I read your email, so let me paraphrase and correct me if I'm wrong, just to, and I thought these were specific details in your email, so let me know if I understand it correctly, but right now, you seem to be in a position in your career where you're making some pretty good money and you are smart with how you spend it and you've saved up and you're doing just fine. He, on the other hand, is very career motivated. He's in a position where he, you know, maybe just got promoted, but he might have some debt right now, but he has big aspirations for his future and things are lining up for him to make a lot of money going forward. Would that be correct?
Right.
Yeah. And so now you guys talk about marriage and he is definitely wants to do a prenup and you're like,
right.
Is this a sure thing that he's going to be making a lot of money in the near future?
I mean, he started at a startup, a marketing agency.
Okay.
And he's like, the number two guy.
So it could either fall on its face or it could be a home run kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
And Rochelle, I'm curious, what do you think?
Right.
I have an opinion. I'm curious what you think.
Well, I want to know more like what her thought process is behind it, behind not wanting it.
I'm not against a financial agreement. I just don't really see with how much, you know, he's got student debt and I don't. And really, you know, he tells me the prenup is, you know, going to save me from, you know, potentially having to bear his student debt.
But what's like in your gut, like what's making you think that a prenup is not something you want to do?
I just think that I've wanted to get married my whole life, and especially with him, like, I want to say it's a done deal. I don't want to be planning a wedding and then also, you know, meeting with attorneys.
It feels unromantic.
And it feels unromantic for something that can maybe be done after the wedding.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I don't know if you can do it after the wedding. I'm not a lawyer and I don't know anything about prenups per se, but I think the whole idea is figuring out the legality of your finances before you get married, in the sense, because if you don't do that, once you get married, there's laws or, you know, things that go into effect based off the fact that you are married. You know, like
if you do it after, I just looked it up. If you do it after the wedding, it's called a postnuptial agreement.
You can go back.
It's a prenup and a postnup.
So you can go back and kind of say, I forfeit like whatever rights that we have as a married couple, but we are going to agree to do this.
Very unromantic.
Are you saying you would be okay with this if it was after your marriage? That you would like,
yeah.
You're really, why?
I mean, because I think that's going to be a huge part of our lives.
Are you okay?
Well, I wouldn't be opposed to it, like when we're, you know, about to have kids and when we have to figure out, you know, am I going to be staying home taking care of kids while he's at work making more money that I'm not going to be able to recover if we, you know, if anything does happen.
I mean, you are married and you are like, why do you have to get a prenup in general? Are you okay with the possibility of just being like, I don't want to get a prenup. You're my husband.
Oh, I don't. I would 100% not want one either way. But if that's going to be his, you know, stickler thing to get married, like if he's if his whole life revolves around not getting married unless he has a prenup, then
I'm going to
compromise a little bit.
I'd be compromising a little bit and signing a prenup are might be two different things. Everything else in this relationship is just great, wonderful.
I think so.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
You know, as good as it can be.
What about, like, when you describe to him how uncomfortable you are with the idea of getting a prenup, does he listen? Is he open to having a conversation?
I think right now, I mean, I've worked in law. I work in, like, law offices.
Okay.
And I've done research on it, and I've kind of come around to it a little bit. But I also told him, like, if this is something that you want, it's coming out of your pocket. You're going to meet with the attorneys and pay for it. I'm going to meet with the attorneys and you're going to pay for it.
Just out of have you discussed, if you get a prenup, what exactly he's asking for in terms of, yeah, he's selling you on the idea that, hey, listen, I have debt and you don't. So in the near future, this is actually protecting you. But there's a reason why he wants to sign this prenup. And has he described to you, like, what if, let's say, you guys get married and have kids and his marketing company hits a home run and he's worth $50 million in 10 years from now, how much he expects you to get of that if you sign a prenup? Have you discussed that? Does he have a bullet points laid out of, like, what's that look like? Or does he want all of it?
He wants his equity.
He does. So he's saying, I want a prenup so that if we get divorced and it doesn't work out, you can't get half of the equity I have in this company.
Right. Basically, he's saying he's doing 100% of the work. He wants 100% of that equity, whatever he gets.
I mean, you could argue that, you know, well, he's doing 100% of the work. You are, you know, he's 50% of that relationship,
yeah.
You know. And then again, what if you guys have a family? It's all fine now when you guys are two single people with no kids. But right. Now then you start a family, you know, and then choices are made about who's staying home and who's working.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. I mean,
right. I always imagine, like, a prenup. If I got a prenup, I'd want, like, a clause in there to say, like, you know, void this after 5 years, you know, or once we start having kids, because not really void it. I guess you can make, like, amendments to it, but I just...
Yeah, it's definitely...
Like, if he cheats, I want everything.
Sure. I mean, listen, it's... unfamiliar territory for me. I never imagined asking for one or being asked. No, I mean... Just off the top of my head, the only time I could think where it makes sense is if you're worth a stupid amount of money, right? If you're like a billionaire, or let's say even worth like,
correct,
you're $50 million and you meet someone and it's like, hey, I think she loves me for me. And like, or I think he loves me for me. Let's say the woman's worth $50 million. It makes sense to me that the person who has all the money would be like, yeah, listen, I trust you, but I need something, you know, like I can't just get married one day, and if you leave me next week, you get half. You know, like, that makes sense to me to, like,
right,
involve some lawyers. But in this situation, it's just a lot of potential legalities and lawyers and a lot of unromantic conversations about something you don't even know is going to happen. But he is hedging his bet that your relationship won't work, you know, which gotta...
I don't think that's what it is.
You don't?
Betting that the relationship won't work?
It's hedging your bet on the possibility it won't.
I think he kind of is. His parents are divorced, and
he's 100%. He's hedging his bet. Like, I'm not saying he's saying it's going to not work, but he's being obviously very realistic about the possibility that it can't. Hey,
Which I appreciate.
I mean, that's statistically, that's a smart thing to do. But, you know, there's the idea of don't get married, I guess, if he's not, then that's, there's a something about marriage, and if it is unromantic, but listen, I would say if this is, you know, we hold your ground. I mean, don't compromise too much at the risk of saying, I just want to get married and have kids and I really love him. But like, you know, this is an opportunity to see how he's going to compromise in a life with him. You know, if you're going to get married and have kids and make very serious choices, this is obviously a test. And so fine, if you are willing, obviously, to have a conversation about the possibility of signing a prenup, see how flexible he is, you know, without getting it combative. You know, you certainly are going to have to get a lawyer involved, right? Like, and he's like, to your point, he's going to have to pay for it if that's what he wants to do, fine, but you still need a lawyer to represent you and then your on your behalf. And then like things like, you know, a statute of limitations, like 5 years, like you get more, or it's reneged, or you start having kids and things change. Because listen, I guess if you want to play fair, he's just saying, all right, we're going to get married now. We're 28. We don't plan on having kids, say, I don't know, 4 years. I don't know. I'm just throwing things out. And if we get married and like shit happens in the first 2.5 years, we just realize we hate each other. Like, why do you get half? We don't have a family together, et cetera, et cetera. All right, fine. You know, like if he wants to do that, but you start having a family together and, you know, you're raising a family, you're staying home and I don't know if you are, but like you're whatever, you know, things change and you become a family. Like, yeah, I'm sorry. You deserve some of that equity. You know, or don't get divorced, you know, or make it work, you know, right. Or don't get married if you are thinking there's a good chance that like you have this such an easy out. You know, because that's,
well, that's what I said. I was like, I don't need to marry you if that's, if you're so worried about it. But I mean, also, he doesn't have to share, if we're married, he doesn't have to share his money with me necessarily.
Yeah,
you just have to tell me about
it. I'm not a lawyer, but to play lawyer, just to play the other side on your behalf, right? Like, he's just like, well, I want all of my equity. Well, you know, if you have an asset, you know, like his equity in his company, and you guys get married and have kids and you do things like buy a house or in the future, like put money aside for your kids to go to college. Like, people borrow against that all the time. They use that as a way to, like, you know, get loans, et cetera, et cetera. And he has all those cards and you don't have any of them, you know, like it really changes how you guys make decisions. Right. So like to say that you know, so much might be put into that equity. It might be a place for him to like hide money in a sense, you know, like if things all of a sudden you're married, things aren't going so well, he can read the tea leaves. All of a sudden his company is like paying him a little bit less cash and giving him a little bit more equity of which he owns all of, you know, I'm just saying those are vehicles in which people can then start hiding money, et cetera, et cetera. And like, you know, it can get real tricky and you have no protections. And again, you'll have, if you guys do this, you'll have a lawyer, like I'm sure bringing this up and fighting on your behalf. But I don't think it's as simple as he's might be suggesting. And to your point, if you really want to get married, there's something about wanting to get married of making sacrifices and planning for the future. And if that's not what he wants, then maybe he doesn't want to get married. Maybe he wants a full-time girlfriend to hopefully stay with him for the rest of his life and maybe have kids, but not get married. Mm.
I guess I'm of a different opinion. I just think it does feel unromantic, but it could be a great way to establish like trust and intimacy before you begin a marriage. And if you have faith that you will be together, then I guess it isn't that scary. Like to me, I'm like, I think you have to default to the person who wants it.
I'm not saying it's wrong or right, but I can see what you're saying. There's other ways to do that with money than getting lawyers involved in a prenup and, you know.
Are you saying prenup or prenup?
What, it prenup?
Prenup? Keep hearing prenup.
Probably prenup. I don't know. It's how much I haven't talked about it. I don't know. I mean, like
I'm surprised that's your opinion.
Why? Why?
Because you got money.
Sure, but I still have a romantic at heart that I hope I meet someone that I want to be like, you know what, this is gonna, we're gonna make this work.
Yeah.
I've seen my friends do other things with finances I thought were really cool. I mean, I have one friend couple that's married, and they have kids. I think they established this before they had kids, but both working professionals, made their money, and they I thought this was kind of cool what they did. It was, all right, we make good money. We have our family account, our marriage account, of which they decided up front like what percentage goes into that. And then they have their own personal accounts, right? And it's a certain percentage. And they have agreed that if you want to, your personal account, if you want to spend all of this on Skittles, it's your right, right? If you want to spend
Skittles.
I'm just saying something absurd. Like, that is their money. And
that's
their,
the first thing your mind goes to spend money on.
It's just like, I just want all the Skittles in the world. then that is your right. But like, that is your money. And then you have that freedom to do what you want with it. And you can shop and buy purses, or you can go to sporting events. You can do whatever you want. And this is our money as a family that we are putting away for our kids' future and houses, or et cetera, et cetera. Like, that's a way to like have some freedom with your finances, but at the same time be married and things like that. And like, listen, they made some money. They have the freedom to do that. My parents would be like, we don't have the money to set money aside.
Right.
For like, we have fucking 11 kids to raise. Yeah. So everything's a little bit different, but
I don't know what my friend did. So they signed a prenup. And then, so she charges him for taking care of the kids then.
Yeah.
Because she's like, if I'm not getting any of the money, then I deserve to be paid for this because it's your kids.
That's a good idea. To that point, Rochelle, I mean, you can, if you're going to do a prenup, you can negotiate anything.
Yeah, you really
Everything's
can.
Everything's on the table.
Yeah.
So the question is like, how...
Which I don't, God damn it.
You don't want to be doing
and that's
that.
The thing. I get where she's coming from. She's like, yeah, I guess I can do that. And I can get a lawyer, and I can get real nitpicky. But like, I want to get married, and I want to
get married, and I don't want to get divorced. You know,
yeah, and I want the and the it.
But maybe just change the way you're looking at it. Instead of looking at it as like a thing about divorce, just look at it as a way of no.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's definitely, this is definitely a matter of personal preference, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of people listening being like, no fucking way would I even consider this. And other people being, hey,
it's not that big of a deal.
It's not that big of a deal. It's certainly not a traditional mindset. And if you kind of grew up thinking, you know, that's so unromantic, the reality is, I mean, I was telling my parents over Thanksgiving, and you know, I love my family. Sometimes we, you know, as all people can be, we can be a little Debbie Downers. We can complain about our lives that we have or what we don't have. And I was just like, guys, we are like so lucky as a family.
Yeah.
In all aspects of health, relationships per se, you know, general like well-being, the fact that my parents are still together. I mean, I go on a date with a woman and she's like, oh, your parents are together. I would guess that one out of five times the person, like, they're like, it's like a big deal now. It's as much as like
to have your parents together,
to go on a date with someone, be like, oh, your parents still together? Oh yeah, you too? It's like, whoa, let's take a moment, you know? Like, that's it's not very common that like two people go on a date and both of their parents are still together. I mean, it's, they say it's like above 50%, but I feel like it's much higher now, you know? And mm-hmm. So the reality is people are getting divorced, so I get the premise that like, this is not 1940 anymore. Well, it is death to do you part. It's like, you know, so I get it, but I don't know. It's definitely, I support you not being okay with it. He is definitely hedging his bet. You know, maybe he's a very analytical person. Maybe that's just the way his brain works. And he's just like, hey, I love you, but hey, let's be real here. You know, I don't know. But, you definitely, what my advice, I guess, is you have to have a line that you aren't willing to cross, right? That's my advice, is you got to figure out what that line is. You got to figure out, okay, I'm doing the research and I'm okay with discussing this, but there's some things I'm just not okay with. And I don't know what that is for you, but you got to figure out what that is, and you need to be able to feel like he's meeting you halfway. It's just a feeling, right? You need to be able to feel like you are getting some concessions with him that aren't necessarily involving lawyers, right? And I don't know what that is, but I think you need to feel that he's giving you something so you can feel that element of romance in the relationship and trust, because you clearly aren't necessarily comfortable with it. And if you do go through with it, you can't feel like you sold out, or you can't feel like you have this prenup. Is it prenup? Prenup.
It stands for prenuptial.
Prenup hanging over your head, you know, and it's just like a thing that you become, you build this resentment, and then imagine all of a sudden things aren't, you fight a little bit. You're in your third year, fourth year of your marriage. You have your first kid. It's a little tense, as any marriage would be, right? All of a sudden he makes some money, equity goes up. And then that pressure you're going to feel of, what did I do? What did I, oh my God. And then is he just going to bail on me now that he has all this money? He can, you know, it can create, as much as like it can create trust and security in terms of like an understanding, it also can create a lot of like, oh shit, you know? And that all depends on how good your lawyer was at the beginning versus his. And all of a sudden you're literally making sure, because that's the reality. If he wants a prenup and you go along with it, like the truth is, in that moment figuring it out, you better hope that you have a better lawyer than his, you know? And this is someone you're like, well, I hope I won because like I love you until death do us part, but like just in case, you know, like I might hate you in 10 years, you know, I don't, it's messy. Figure out what that line is. You need to feel like he is meeting you halfway with these feelings. And you know, I understand the equity point, but it's just about a feeling. You need to find out what that line is that you're not willing to cross, and he needs to meet you there.
And don't let it ruin your wedding.
It could. I mean, let's be real. How's it going?
Good. Nice to meet y'all. My name is Kim and I'm 35 years old.
Hi, Kim, 35. Nice to meet you.
I like your outfit.
Thank you.
Cute.
Thunder's on. So I am kind of in a precarious situation, and it's very convoluted, but I'll try to be super succinct with it. And there's been a lot of new stuff that's developed, so I kind of just want help with dissecting what's going on maybe and see what you guys have to say about it, but it's just really bizarre. So
shoot.
So I met this guy like whenever I was doing my residency program, probably like 6 years ago, and we dated very briefly. I ended things cause I felt like he wasn't putting in the effort. And so, after that, I didn't hear from him for a while. And then I, got like a Facebook message from him that he had sent probably 6 months to a year after we had ended things. And it was just something like, oh, I looked through all these people with your name. I finally found you and just want to let you know that I had been thinking about you. So he had put in some effort after that, right? But I didn't get that message for like 6 months to a year after he had sent it. So it was kind of a moot point.
Because you're on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't get that message for a while. And so, you know, we just kind of caught up, just see how we were doing or whatever. And then that just kind of passed. And then recently here, probably within the year, he actually sent me a Facebook friend request. And then he friended me on Instagram or whatever. So we just kind of connected there. And long story short, we've just been trying to catch up. I actually had a medical conference out in San Diego where he was, like back in June. And so we just met up for dinner or whatever. And then we've just been talking on Instagram since then. Well, so what's been happening is I've been getting these random Instagram messages from like a person who has no picture, no followers, nothing, not following anybody. And it's just one of those things where initially it was pictures of him or like video of him maybe out at a club or something dancing with a girl. But, you know, we're not exclusive, so it's not anything that I'm really bothered by. And so I actually sent them a message. I was like, thanks. Why are you sending me these pics or videos? And they didn't answer. And then they just kept sending me more pictures. And then
they being this anonymous account of
Like I have no clue who it was. So And so, then after a while, they started sending me like actual text, like through Instagram, messages. Yeah, and it would say something like, God knows what you did and will punish you for your sins, or like crazy stuff like that, right?
Oh my God.
And so, like on my phone, go ahead.
I mean, so you've been hanging out with this guy off and on. He finds you, now you're talking, and you're getting this rant. It's as if you're married to him or you're having an affair, but like you're being warned.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And yet you're just
famous? Is he like a big deal?
No. So I don't even know.
And have you even, at this point, are you even dating? Or are you just like kind of talking via still the internet?
Kind of talking.
Have you hung out?
And we're just seeing where things were going. And so that
you've hung out, you're hanging out at this point.
So I met him in San Diego whenever I was there for a medical conference. And then he actually came to visit me a couple, by this time, probably like a month ago. And so that's when all the crazy stuff started is,
Sins. And it's specific, and you're getting videos of him dancing with people. So
that was like before. Yeah. And so now it's more like her just sending and then unsending me messages. So I can't really see what they are. And so then I'll have to like get on and then snapshot or take a screenshot of it really quickly so I can save it. So it's like the most bizarre situation. And then, so that was all amusing. And, you know, at the time I was thinking, well, should I be snarky or just like sincere and just ask her what's going on? So after the whole sins thing, I asked her like, oh, so like, you know, my sins, I try to be like kind to everybody. I try to be nice to everyone. So if I did something to upset you, then please let me know. And then they just, you know, obviously they're a little off the rocker. So they were just like, you know what you did. And then just like sent all these other things. And like at one point in time, they sent like maybe like a WhatsApp text message from like Babe, which I guess is supposed to be him and this person, shortly after his visit here. And it was just like, him talking to the person, and it's, oh, I miss you. Like I was in Dallas, but I was here to, you know, meet up with a male friend or whatever, which, you know, I confronted him about it.
Okay. Yeah, that's my next question.
I never said that.
So wait, so time out. Yeah. Have you told him this story? Like, is he aware of what's going on?
Yeah, he was aware from the beginning. Like after the pictures, I even said, hey, is there a reason why this person's sending me these pictures? And he like had no clue why they would send those pictures or the videos.
Does he know who this person is?
So the working theory was that it was his ex, and now that's no longer the working theory anymore. So I don't know who it is. So we thought it was his ex. And like at one point in time in one of the messages that they sent me and then unsent me, they reference his ex, and they supposedly he reached out to his ex also, and his ex had been contacted by this random person also. And there's a picture of us that it's just like an innocent picture of us just like looking at the camera. And I guess they're trying to provoke these people because they sent it to his ex and it said something like hashtag my love, hashtag my girl, which I'm very certain that he never said that. So it's just really bizarre that they've gone through all this trouble and have all this time to do this because it's really crazy.
That is bizarre. But I guess I think in these situations, it's always important to focus on what we do know, not what we don't know. What we do know is that you started getting these messages around the time that you started talking to this guy. And you do know that this person, whoever they are, is messaging you about him for whatever reason. And it's probably safe to assume that unless you have a friend who's just fucking... Well, this person sent you videos of him.
Yeah.
So they have access
which
to him.
I think those videos were maybe on like his Instagram story or something that is public. So it's just kind of interesting. But
I guess
he posted the picture of you that this person sent to his ex, or how did they get that picture?
So after we took the picture, I sent him a picture through text, right? But he, like, after the whole fake text, that WhatsApp thing, he posted a picture of us on his story, and it was just like,
on his story,
tagged me and said, like, thank you for showing me around Dallas or whatever. So I don't know if he got it by hacking his phone or by using that story picture.
I got a question for you. How concerned does he act about this situation?
How concerned is he?
Yeah.
So I guess initially he just thought it was annoying, but he's like changed his number and all that stuff because they were sending him stuff too. So initially it was amusing, but then it got kind of crazy because he would get like email confirmations from whoever it is, like scheduling him appointments with me, because like I said, I'm a physician. So he would get email confirmations and phone confirmations like from my health system to schedule appointments with me. And then he got confirmations of me scheduling appointments where I did my residency training. But it was like my name plus his last name, which is like kind of humorous, but kind of bizarre also. And then also got confirmation for touring my apartment. So that's when I had to put out like a police report, obviously, because that's a little crazy. Because I don't know who it is, they just said to keep a lookout for suspicious persons.
Are you dating this guy now? So like what's going on as far as this relationship?
No, so we were just
seeing a lot to do for a guy you kinda like.
Yes. Exactly. So we were just seeing how things were, and you know, we're not even in the same state. So, you know, he didn't want to go into anything serious. I just wanted to see where things went. So we're not even dating. So it's really bizarre. And the person after that, like I reported them on Instagram, and that automatically blocked them. But then they created a new account and pictures. And like they, you know how you can forward a picture. So they were forwarding like a picture of like a female performer. And I guess they were trying to show me that he had liked their post or something. Oh, and I'm just like, I don't care. And you know, it's like, and you know, the scene in Dumb and Dumber where like
it's a great movie.
The undercover cop is like rambling and Jim Carrey is like, I don't care. So I don't understand why this person.
This is like, that's like my life in a conversation. Like, I'm kidding. Listen, it is weird. Obviously we don't have answers of how to figure this out. I mean, the big question is do you really like this guy? I mean, is it really worth it? Because whether this is fair to him or not, it all started with him, you know?
Right.
And I asked those questions like, how concerned is he about this? Because like, it is super weird. It did start with him. And I'm just wondering, not to like put false blame on him, but like it did start with him, you know? And it also started with him kind of finding you on the internet. There's a connection with the internet being the glue. And I'm not trying to get into conspiracy theory here, but like, you know, he did go out of his way to find you. He found you that way. People do weird things. So like, listen, if you were telling me the story and it's just like, I've been dating this guy for like 8 months, everything's great and he's the greatest guy in the world and there are zero red flags, but there's this situation, I would tell a different story. I mean, I would give a different response. But
you think a Facebook message is a red flag?
No, I'm just saying like, listen, this is a super weird story. There's not a lot to go on.
Right.
We don't know why you're getting these random messages via the internet, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. It's super bizarre for someone you're not even in a relationship with. I'm saying you don't know much about him. You do know that he looked you up via the internet, which is not weird. It is, to Rochelle's point, normal. but he seems willing to like really go out of his way to do like a deep dive to find you. And that's a kind of aggressive. Not that you're not worth it or whatever. I'm just saying I don't mean aggressive in a bad way. What's the upside here? Like, do you really like him? Because I think that you need to figure that out. Because like, is there anything else that feels off or weird about this whole situation? About him?
I mean, so we dated initially for like 2 or 3 months. And he lost his phone. That's why he had to reach out that way to me. But he had lost his phone or something, so he didn't have my number. So then that's why he had to like look me up on Facebook or something.
He ghosted you? Or you broke up after you dated?
Sounds weird. I just want to make sure. I don't think it is weird as it might sound. Oh. You dated, you stopped dating, time passed. He at some point got a new phone. Like I lose numbers like that. I mean, if it's someone like 2 years ago, I might not have your
number. Wait, let her say. What happened to the end of your relationship?
So initially, we were dating and I felt like I was putting in more effort. And if I didn't put in the effort, then he would not, we would not go anywhere.
Yeah.
And so after I told him that, like, I didn't hear from him. And then like the 6 to 1 year later, that's when he had messaged me on Facebook saying that he had like tried to find me or whatever.
Yeah. So. I'm just saying like the two people dated, and it didn't work out.
Okay. Right?
Right. Yeah. And then for whatever reason, wanted to reach back out. He didn't have your number anymore. That's believable. That's fine. It's possible.
Okay.
I could have lost a number.
Yeah.
None of that's totally weird. I'm simply saying this is super weird, and it seems like a lot of effort, and like you filed a police report for a guy that you're like, about, and he is the center of this, whether it's his fault or not, he is at the center of this. So the question is like, how much do you really like him to like figure out what's going on here?
So honestly, I feel like he probably just needs a friend right now, because he seems actually really overwhelmed and like stressed out by the whole situation is what he's saying to me. Okay. So I think I'm beyond the point of like trying to pursue this, but I guess my other question is like, at this point in time, do I, like, if I go on a date with someone, do I tell them about this? Cause this seems like a pretty big deal. You know, it's like a weird situation to be in.
I think when it comes to this guy in this relationship, you should communicate, right? You shouldn't be afraid to, and especially with him, I don't know why, but like, I think it's particularly important for you to be very clear about your intentions, whether this is a friendship or a romantic relationship or no relationship at all, right? I don't think you should hope that he's okay with something. I think if you don't want to date him romantically, I think he needs to be clear about that. I'd be curious how this whole, what happens after that, to be honest.
I'm curious too.
And that's the thing. There's something there. I think there's something in your gut. I don't know. That's telling you something, but don't leave any gray for this guy. You know, I think that's really important. So if you want to be his friend, I think it needs to be very clearly stated that that's what you're interested in. And that's all you're interested in. I think it's totally okay. To not be his friend. You're not his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need to be his friend.
Right.
Probably not. Yeah.
He'll find other friends. I mean, you're both adults. You know, you dated once. He seems overwhelmed. People do fucking weird things, man. And I just think, again, this all started with him. And it's super weird. And, you know, what is that law? Like the most simplest explanation is often the right one. Octavian's something.
I've never heard something. That.
You never heard that?
Uh-uh.
It's basically the easiest or most simplest explanation is often the true one, the right one. And so you can get into all these theories about, you know, it's basically like questions that is based off of that. It's like, oh, yeah, we can all sit here for 20 minutes and think of a bunch of different scenarios to figure out what's going on.
Right.
But all we do know, this all started with him.
Occam's razor.
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
Yeah. Occam's razor.
Yeah. Right. And so I just think there's something there. We can't explain it, but it has to do with him somehow. That much I'm confident in.
Yeah, and surprising he can't figure out who it is.
Not your problem, you know? And I think you don't want to date him. I think that's important. You seem pretty confident about that. You seem you feel this burden of being his friend because maybe he deep down you sense that he's kind of a lonely, troubled person. Not that he's, but you know, you want to be there for him, et cetera, et cetera. And you weirdly and unjustifiably feel like you are afraid to date someone else without, you know, I think that's an important
piece.
That's
sad.
You know, well, that's fine. But like, yeah. you're a good person, but you shouldn't feel bad. You should make it clear. You should be very clear in communicating that with him because there's a weird kind of, you got yourself in this weird situation where you're a little bit stuck for no reason. And there's a lot of drama for, like, you're not in a relationship and there's just, you're filing police reports.
Right.
So I think Rochelle and I agree. I think you should just shut this down.
Oh yeah, shut it down.
If you don't want to and you want to be his friend, you need to be very clear about this relationship.
You're a hot doctor. You don't need to deal with this.
You are a babe. You are a doctor. you know, maybe that caregiver in you is wanting to like take care of him, but don't. That take care of your patients, not guys in your life.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for calling in. All right, take care.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That needs to be shared far and wide to all the
doctors out there and the nurses. What a weird story.
There's definitely some mental illness. When you talk about sin, that's starting
to get the person
mental.
Reaching out, sure.
Yeah. Severe.
And I don't, like, it might not be for, there's, again, there's only, the only constant is this guy.
Do you get weird messages like that?
I mean, not like that.
No.
Certainly not about a certain person that I've hung out
with. Oh, good. That's good.
I mean, I've gotten weird messages, but nothing like that.
Okay.
But there's something with this guy. There's something going on there.
That's
a good point. And then when she mentioned that, she's like, well, is it okay if I start dating other guys to like, what do you mean? Why wouldn't it be okay? You know?
Right.
I mean, there's a reason why she feels reluctant to communicate with him.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. Ugh. But there's a reason why. Yeah. And it all started with him.
Yeah.
So.
Got to be wary of those Facebook messages from guys in your past.
Yes.
Ghosts of relationships past.
I mean, in Facebook too.
I know.
It's like, come on. Whew. Anyways. Don't take care of your patients.
A lot of people get in affairs starting on Facebook messages.
Because no one else, they're certain their boyfriend or girlfriend isn't on there too.
Or just like people, like just reach out to people from their past. They're like sad. And
they're bored.
Yeah.
They're bored. Hi. How's it going?
Hi. I'm Caitlin. I'm 26.
Hi, Caitlin, 26.
Hi. Nick. Hi, all.
Let's go. What's that? How can we help?
So, my husband never sleeps in bed with me. He pretty much almost every night falls asleep on the couch, either playing video games or watching YouTube or whatever, and comes to bed sometimes, like late, like 5 a.m. if he wakes up. But most of the time, he just stays downstairs. And like, he'll have my lunch ready for me or like a protein shake or something. So I wake up and like, that's nice and all. But I kind of feel a little rejected when I wake up in the morning all alone in bed. Like, we've been married for 2.5 years and kind of been a problem throughout the whole time.
And so, and tell him what happened when you didn't have a couch.
Oh, yeah. We got a new couch like a year ago and we got rid of our old one and we didn't have a couch for like a week. And he still would fall asleep on the floor downstairs and not in bed. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how's everything else? How's the sex life?
I mean, it's fine. Like, it's definitely been a couple years now, so it's not like every day. Like, it used to be usually on weekends. Well,
It's like you have
a
one.
Bit, but
you have a sex life.
We have one.
Okay.
A little bit, yeah. She said. Just, what does that mean?
No, I don't know. I mean, I'm just.
Still not as much as I would like.
Okay,
like,
so you would like it more. Okay. But you do have one. I mean, it's drastic.
You do have one.
It's fairly drastic to fall asleep on a floor. So I'm just wondering if, like, I would feel like at that point, no one's fucking. but you still have a sex life. It's just the,
what is it, like, yeah, an afternoon delight situation?
He likes it in the morning.
Okay.
But, like,
when do you like
normally it? Normally, I like it at night, but, like, I can deal with it in the morning because I'll take it anytime, basically.
Uh-huh.
But, like, if he's coming to bed, sometimes I can tell it's because he woke up wanting some.
Ugh.
So, yeah.
And I'm assuming you have communicated this frustration with him.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely knows that it affects me, that I don't like waking up alone. But he kind of acts like there's nothing he can do about it. Like,
well, that's not true.
It's just kind of how it is.
What job does he have?
Yeah, so he works weird hours. He gets off at like 10:30, but actually his shift just changed. Now he gets off at 9:30, but it's still a problem.
Where does he work?
He's an inventory management at, like, a warehouse. Like, they do all online, like, bath and kitchen.
So he gets off at 9, 10?
So he goes into work later, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so he goes into work at, like, noonish. Mm.
And what, he likes to come home and kind of decompress with video games and YouTube videos?
Yeah.
YouTube videos. Who knows what he's watching, yeah, huh?
And then when does he usually fall asleep versus, like, is he just a night owl? Like, he just goes to bed at 4 in the morning and wakes up at 10?
Yeah, he definitely, like, stays up late. I would guess he probably doesn't fall asleep till like 3 or 4 most nights.
Yeah, I mean, that is interesting because, like, okay, if he has a job or he's working a different shift and it's just like he's operating at different hours. Yeah. And so... Mm-hmm. I get the idea that he's coming home at 9:30, 10. Maybe you're going to bed around 11, 12, and he's just like, well, I'm up, you know? So, like, I'm going to watch, you know, whether it's video games and YouTube, and he just, but he can still go to bed at 4, 3, if it's 3 or 4, he can still get into bed and, like, you know, wrap that leg around your calf and, you know, that little, like, half spoon with the leg kind of thing and just kind of that little touch, you know, that everyone
needs.
Everyone likes, you know, just a little rub, a caress, you know.
Right.
So he can, I get that he doesn't want to go to bed the same time as you, but he can definitely not fall asleep on the floor. Yeah, that's right. like being an adult.
I say to, like, bring that conversation up because, like, he knows it bothers me and it's still happening and has happened for like 2.5 years. So
like, my mom works crazy hours. Mm-hmm. She's a nurse practitioner, but she still sleeps in a bed with my dad.
I think you need to be a little harder on him, in a sense that it's like you're giving me the vibe that, like, I've told him, but he's like not okay with it, and so I just kind of
I'm very understanding.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Very, like, understanding.
I told him, but, like, you know, it's like he didn't really want to, so I just dropped it. And it, like, I think you need to, like, be like, hey, listen, husband,
husband,
I love you.
Yes.
This really bothers me, you know? I want to lie next to you, and I don't want to just feel like anytime we, like, lie next to each other, it's because you want to get off. And so, like, I get
gross.
It. I get that you don't want to, like, go to bed with me, but, like, you are an adult, husband, and you can, like, not fall asleep on the floor, and you can come in, and you can spoon me a little bit, and you can give me some affection other than with your dick, and then we can just be happier. And you know what? I know that you don't want to do this. I get that because you're in your comfort, but I want this. And as your wife, I want you to, like, make this very small and reasonable sacrifice to give me the love that I want. And I think you need to, like, just... be like, this is not I'm not requesting.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm getting, like, college boy vibes from what she's saying.
I mean, you're still pretty young. Yeah. I mean, when did you guys meet?
We met when I was 20 and he was 21.
Yeah.
We got married when I was 24 and he was 25. And now we're, like, 27, 28.
I think sometimes a challenge when young couples meet at that age, it's that there's some, like, stunted maturing as a couple. Like, because let's say you guys didn't get married at that young age. Let's say he was out there dating and he was single mm-hmm. and is 23, 24, 25. And let's say he then was 28 and then started dating a 26-year-old girl who also had been single and he pulled this shit. She'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? You know?
Yeah, I would be gone. Yeah. But, I would be gone immediately.
But you are like, you know, and to criticize, but you're like, you've been dating this guy and it's fine. And I guess he does this. And is it that weird? And you just kind of go along with it. And it's like,
And when we were dating, like, he was with roommates. We didn't live together until we got married. So if we were hanging out at night, it was in his bedroom.
Yeah, so, like, you didn't know.
We didn't have this problem until we had a house.
Yeah.
So
she needs an I'm not a cool chick t-shirt.
Yeah, because you being understanding is hurting him more than helping
him. You are enabling him, and you have set this precedent of, like, being cool and, like, just kind of letting him know where you're upset. But, like, listen, if it really bothers you, it's fine. You can sleep on the floor. It's really cool. You know, like,
he's being silly.
I'm giving you a hard time.
Don't take it personally.
You need to really, I feel like it's safe to say that things that really bother you, you hold on inside much longer than you should, and you're not good at really letting him know. No, I'm really unhappy about this, and I really want you to do this, and I really need you to do this, and please make it, I need you to know that you're willing to make an effort for me. Because I know you can
do
this.
One thing he said was, to tell him that he's an adult. I feel like that probably would not go over well.
I don't think you should be condescending. No. I'm saying that to him.
Okay.
But, like, yes, you don't be condescending. Don't belittle him. Don't criticize him. This is like, I want you to do this for me, please. I'm asking you, and I'm letting you know this is very important to me. This isn't like a small suggestion. I'm not mildly frustrated. I really want you to do this. This would make me very, very happy. In fact, nothing would make me happier. I don't care what you buy me or whatever. This is more than anything what I want in this marriage. I think you should, like, put it out there. And then find out if when you state it like that, what he's willing to do. And, you know, it's a small effort on his part to be like, I'm getting sleepy. It's 3 a.m. I'm going to go to bed.
Or could he play for 2 hours and go to bed at, you know, midnight and then do stuff in the morning?
I don't even think we have to go that far as, like, giving him a curfew. I mean, if the guy wants to play video games till 3 or 4 in the morning, that's fine. But he needs to just not fall asleep on the couch. If he wants to roll in the bed and then, like, every night she kind of, like, feels him get into bed and he, like, caresses her back and just lets him know he's there. And it's not just to get laid at 5 in the morning. You know, like, she shouldn't feel that way. Yeah. It should be a regular thing that he gets in bed every night, regardless of the time.
Yeah.
And because he's an adult. Yeah.
You seem like you got your shit together. Gorgeous hair, great outfit. Looks like you got a great job. You deserve someone, you know. You deserve a man.
You're just, yes. You met him when he was a boy, and we haven't really, we haven't made him a man yet. You gotta not be worried about being so understanding.
Yeah. You know. I just don't want to push too much.
Mm. I think you're far away from being nagging. You're a long way away. I've met some of those people. You got a long way
That's
to go.
The thing about getting married young is, like, I do worry that I'm going to turn into, like, a naggy wife real fast that I don't.
Well, pick your battles. You know, I don't know what else frustrates you about your relationship. I'm sure there are many, as every relationship has them. This is it sounds like you've picked your battle, and this battle is a very reasonable thing. This is reasonable. Yeah. This is reasonable to want to, like, feel like you have a partner and that you sleep with and you have that romance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you guys are, like, 65, 70, you get separate bedrooms, fine. You know, like all our grandparents used to do. But, you know, that's fine. But, like, that is a total reasonable request, you know? Again, like, you don't need to give him a curfew. I need you in bed by 1:30. Right. No, you don't have to do that. That's a little naggy and little, like, you're not his mom. But, like, I want you to do this for me, you know, and show me affection. That is reasonable. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference between, like, nagging him about, like, why he doesn't comb his hair or his, like, why he wears baggy jeans. And, like, you don't like the way he dresses or, you know, all these little things you can nitpick about, like, hey, you married the guy. This is who he is. But you can expect him to show you a level of affection and love this seems really reasonable. And, again, like, you know, I've been in relationships where the person wanted my love and affection, and I was like, well, that sounds great, and I want to give you my love and affection, but you are kind of constantly a bitch to me, and you belittle me, and you berate me, and you yell at me, and I'll be honest, right now, I don't feel like giving you a hug. You know, that doesn't sound like I'm getting this from you. You sound like a very warm, loving person, and you just want a hug, and you're just like, you know, at night. Right.
Aww.
So I think you don't worry. It's like, it's so funny. Like the wrong people who are worried about nagging.
Yes.
And if I just be like, I get the, you know, I'm dating someone. I'm just like, could you just shut up? You know, like,
well, don't say that.
I don't, but it's just like, so yes, you have a long way to go before I think you have to worry about that. Don't what you need to do is be able to express what is important to you in a very calm and way, and see if he's willing to do these things for you. And the it's not an excuse to be like, I just can't. He is an adult, you know. Just be like, and just don't be like, you know what, of course you can, you don't want to, you know. Be good at pointing out to him when he says, well, I don't know if I can. Say, that's not true, you don't want to, you know. You got to call him out on the things that he's saying, he's pretending he can't do when he's really saying, I don't want to.
Mm.
So make sure you are mindful of that, but get your hug, girl.
Okay.
Get those snuggles in.
Get that little like leg spoon.
Oh,
I love a good leg spoon.
I miss that.
All right. Best of luck.
You.
All right. Take
Thanks
care.
Yourself.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's always the wrong ones. It's always the wrong ones. Why can't we just find the balance with, you know?
Yeah.
It's a
lot how we're raised.
Yeah. And I do think sometimes it's a challenge when you're younger and you meet someone and then like...
I'm thinking back.
This young couple set these boundaries, I guess. They set these standards early on. And probably early on, she was like, they're in college. So that's fine. It's cool. It's fine. You know? Like,
she loves him a lot, I'm sure.
She does. And she doesn't want to be a nag. And she's so probably self-conscious about like, oh, we got married so young. And man, they're going to put up with me for, you know. But yes, these are reasonable requests.
I'm like, I have such a fear of being like a mom wife. And like,
you know what do you mean?
Like, I don't want to take care of someone I'm with or like be like, you know, your underwear has, you know, track stains on it. Like I run the other way if I see any guy who like.
I think every guy needs a little reminder to not be a slob. But
really?
There's a difference between that and being their mom.
Yeah. I just don't want to.
You know, it's funny. When I grew up, I always gave my parents credit. You know how some husbands call their wives mom in front of their kids.
Yeah.
And my parents were like to each other, like, don't ever fucking do that.
Really?
Yeah. It was like, they were fine with, they didn't have to let each other know, but like we noticed other families doing it. My parents were like, gross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, no, I'm not, don't call me fucking mom. Like I'm not, you know,
right.
It's that mentality. But yeah, I think guys, men are men and women are women, and we have strengths and weaknesses. And I think some guys, you know, we want a woman, like there's a reason why, like we want a woman's touch in our life, so to speak, you know?
Do you think you need that though?
For sure. Where I live, I do this every time I move in somewhere. The first week I'll get really like decorating, and I'm pretty good. Like if I want to put the effort in, like there's a half of my place like looks really nicely decorated, and then I just kind of stop. Right? And if I really wanted to like really finish it, I could figure it out. I have the touch, but I don't have that like woman's touch to really make it a really homey environment.
Mm-hmm.
And
even the term woman's touch bothers me.
Why?
For some reason, because I'm like, guys, like figure it out. Like I feel like we've coddled men so much that now they don't have like these.
There's a flip side to that coin, right? I mean, again, we're speaking in generalities.
I know.
There are some women who traditionally might be more considered masculine than other men, and some and vice versa, just based off of tradition. But there's a reason why, you know, like when a woman's considered demure, why
interesting.
I don't know, like there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, just because you say you want a woman's touch, it's a general term, but there are lots of things that women are better at than I am, and there's a general like interest that they have that I don't, you know. Like, there are women who are love sports, but there are also a lot more women who love The Real Housewives. And there are men who love The Real Housewives and don't like sports. But, like,
interesting.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know either. I don't know why this.
It's not an absolute. But
yeah.
I could. Listen, I could use a woman in my life. What do you want me to say? How's it going?
Hi.
Hi. What's your name?
I'm Julia. I'm 22 years old.
Hi, Julia, 22. How can we help?
Well, I kind of went through a situation. I met a guy. I don't know really where to begin, but basically I met this guy and everything was like going really great. And we were like, I would assume dating. And
I love how that starts.
Yes. If only it was that simple.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I can definitely get into the details of that. Yeah. But basically, I basically got ghosted after we tried to have sex. But long story short, I went up to him. And a few months ago on my birthday, and I had introduced myself and I asked him, you know, if he was single and if he wanted my number, and he like was very receptive to it. So it wasn't like we met on like a dating app or anything.
Okay.
Where like the intentions are clear, I guess.
It doesn't really matter, but you met him out at a party and you liked him and you put yourself out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Awesome.
So,
good for you.
Yeah. And which was totally out of the norm for me. So I...
Nothing wrong with that. You should not regret that.
He was working and whatever. So we started exchanging... We exchanged numbers and I texted him and...
Time out for a second. You said he was working. Is he a bartender?
So it was actually... without giving too much information about him, he was working at like a cider bar up in Northern California. And anyways,
I only ask, is he in a position where he might get hit on often and meet lots of women?
Very, very frequently.
Okay.
But I think we're missing the...
I'm just trying to get some...
Okay. Some, and how old is he?
Like 26.
Okay. But I feel like that's going to be important. But go ahead.
Okay.
No, yeah. That probably is important. Just to paint the picture a little bit, he's like super tall, handsome, very like athletic looking, I guess, very personable, whatever. So very attractive. Oh no, don't laugh at me.
No, it's just funny. Who cares?
Every guy's anyway. Ever been cast on The Bachelor. Go ahead.
Hey, you, you're on my side here.
I am.
We are on your
side. We are.
So basically, in the past, I don't go for guys that are very like nice. You know, I can recognize that. And he just seemed like a complete dream. Like it was literally like a Hallmark movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like we would... He was taking me out on all these dates.
Where it starts good.
Yeah.
That was real dark.
Real bad.
All right. I'm sorry. We're having fun. It seems like a dream. You're talking to him. You put yourself out there. You exchange numbers.
But you didn't have sex.
No sexy time?
No sexy time.
So when did it get weird? Again, what's the problem? Because otherwise it sounds like you put yourself out there for a guy who seemed like a dream and he turned out to be a fuckboy.
Yeah. So... well, there was like one incident that was kind of weird. We had went to his house that was being built and whatever. We were having a picnic and his sister-in-law kept calling him and was like, oh, we want to meet her. And I was like, okay, like, yeah, I'll meet him. And he's like, well, you should know, like her friends are there and they can be a little bit aggressive. Like basically tells me that one of the girls, she's married and she has tried to have sex with him and he's like, I'm not into that, you know, You're married. I'm not into that, whatever. And he's like, just beware. So then I go and the girl just completely railroads me and is hammering me with questions about my work, about my education, like, oh, you're really young to be doing that. And just very aggressive. And I felt like I held my own and everybody kind of saw that she was, you know, coming at me full force and whatever. I was very confident and I am a very confident person. So it didn't bother me, but then it later came out that he told me that she tried to sleep with him or whatever, and he didn't. That aside, I just feel like it's kind of a fishy situation that he's always over there. Anyways, so then we go, and I have a work conference up in Sacramento area, and he came and stayed with me three of the nights. We didn't do anything, and I just thought like he was being like a gentleman, like
did you try
made a move to like
were you
like,
hoping
I was like
you were hoping he'd make a move?
Well, yeah, I was,
yes,
like, just staying the night at my hotel room just, with me.
Okay. I just like, listen, we don't know, like, you might be, you know, there's a lot of people who are just like, yeah, I just like to sleep next to a guy for a good 3 months.
3 months,
I'm just saying, I don't assume, okay. But you wanted, you were hoping to get,
she wanted it,
you wanted it, okay,
well,
it's fine.
Well, yeah, because that's like, like, yeah, that's the direction that I thought things were going, right, into. I was totally, like, okay, like, yeah, it's been 3 months. Like, okay, I invite you to come stay with me. He stayed three of the nights and, like,
in bed with you and no, like, are you making out? Are you even going to, like, second base? Is he going up your shirt? Or are you going down his pants? What's going on?
Okay.
So I was trying to be super respectful and not, like, push his boundaries because I was like, okay, if a guy likes to go slow, whatever, that's okay. You know? And, but he wasn't, like, like, I would, like, change in front of him, and he, like, I feel like that's pretty, like, okay, you, like, obviously I don't care if you see me or touch me, like, hello, I'm here.
Oh, my
God. So, know? Wait, you're going to the extent where you're like, I guess I'm just going to get naked in front of him and see if he reacts to me to
and
see.
He didn't react?
Well, but, like, well, we were getting ready to go out, so then we go out, but, like, he wouldn't try anything when we would come back, you know, to the hotel room. And like, I was even like, let's get some like tequila, like, you know,
now you're trying
like,
to get him drunk.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
you
know? We know.
I just imagine the story told from tequila, a guy's point of view, and reverse that. Be like, I was getting naked and we started drinking tequila. And anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So anyways, like, I'm like, okay, whatever. That's fine. He's just a gentleman, which I was kind of being a little bit naive. But then, whatever, my work conference ends, we have a day in between. I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna bother him, I'm gonna let him kind of approach me because it's kind of weird. And then he invited me to go hang out with all of his friends out in Sacramento because I was up in that area. And so we go out or whatever, and we're drinking, obviously alcohol is involved, and I think that at that point I was a little bit probably more drunk than I should have been, but I was like, okay, like, I have the courage or whatever to do what I'm going to do. So I, whatever, got undressed and I was like ready to like make my move, like, yeah, my grand gesture. And I did. And then, you know, things fell flat and,
he
like,
no, couldn't get
it up.
Flat.
Oh, you
fell flat.
You hooked up and he wasn't.
No, they fell.
Oh,
flat.
He couldn't get a hard on. Well, I'd just be more specific. I don't, like, I don't fell flat. I don't know. Is that a metaphor? I don't know. So you got naked. Yeah, well, you tried to, he couldn't get an erection.
Yeah. Like, well, like, it would be there and then he'd be like, it was there and then it like went away. And I was like, okay. Like, and he's like, it's not you, I promise. And I'm like, I was like, I know it's not me. You know, it's some, you know, not in like an ass.
No, it's
way.
True.
I was very,
yeah,
I was very understanding. I was just like, hey, like, it's cool. This happens sometimes. We've been drinking. It's all right.
So,
like, no, like,
where are we now and what's the situation and what's your, where are we now and what's your question, I guess?
I just want to know what the, like, what the F happened, like, where 3 days after that whole thing happened, he's like, you're so great. You were so understanding. And I was like, wondering when we're going to go and make our next plans and things. And then he's like, listen, I didn't mention, but I got out of something recently. And, I mean, you're not going to mention that in the last 3 months. Anyways. And he was like, I think that things are going to get too serious with you if we continue down this path. And he's like, I should have mentioned it sooner. but I didn't. And I was like, okay, I just was like, I'm going to respect you. But like, I'm just like wondering like, what the fuck, like, what did I do to like have that happen?
You didn't do anything. So here's what's going on. You're a hot chick who got rejected and a guy didn't like get an erection and you're really fucked up about it because you're not used to this.
Rejected? You think she got rejected?
Yeah. Listen, my guess is he just doesn't like you. There might be a lot of things going on. It might be very true. He got out of a relationship, but he was obviously willing to hang out with you. He was willing to like spend the night with you. I don't know. Like some guys do things. Maybe you are very different than his ex. Maybe he is fucking the married woman and that was the relationship he was speaking of. And maybe he's just like really into her, but like she's married. I don't know. Maybe he also just isn't that into you.
No, but what if he hasn't had sex since the last girlfriend? No, and it felt weird and he couldn't get up and he got embarrassed and then he's like, I'm out. This feels so weird compared to my last relationship.
I mean, that's probably what I'm sure all your girlfriends would say to you.
That could be a thing.
Yeah, you know, maybe, sure. What did we learn, like the last Occam's razor or whatever? But the most likely, he just isn't that into you. Like, listen, there are... I'm not some saint. I'm not saying I've had a one night stand before, but I am like, I won't just have sex with any girl. There are plenty of traditionally beautiful women that many people be like, she is a total babe that I'm just not interested in having sex with her. I've had women who like, you know, in certain situations, I haven't made a move on them and they're kind of like, I know they're wondering why I haven't. And so they make a move on me and I kind of reluctantly go with it, but I'm just not into it. You know, I'm just not into it for whatever reason. Like, she's just not doing it for me. And she is an absolute bombshell. But I'm just not into it. Like, people have certain preferences. I'm sure there's plenty of guys out there that all of your girlfriends think are a total babe. You're just like, it doesn't do it for me.
You don't think he just got embarrassed? He couldn't get it up?
No, he's 26 years old. Like, I mean, sure, maybe he had a little, tequila dick, and that's possible. But, like, if it was just tequila dick... He would, like, why didn't he have sex with her the other times? Why did he end it? You know, like, there's a lot going on here that all adds up to he's just not that into you.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, that very well could be it. And, I mean, at the end of the day, that is what it comes down to, because whatever. What I will say is that, like, he, like, after it, like, happened, we had, like, a long discussion about it in the morning, and he was like, I should have tried things sooner. I was just, like, I'm not very aggressive with those kind of things. Like, I don't, like, he's, like, I don't like to make the first move. Like, and he has proven to be that kind of person.
To you.
But, I mean,
towards
me, is that...
What I'm saying is, like, you don't really know this guy. You've spent enough of time with him, I'm sure, but you don't know what he's like with other women. You're not his best friend. You haven't heard all of his stories. This is how he is with you. I've said a lot of shit to women because I don't want to be a dick or whatever. And, like, again, this sounds like a guy who's probably a pretty decent guy who probably looks at you and thinks, what a beautiful woman. She's also really nice. In fact, why don't I like you? You seem like girlfriend material. You're like, you're great. I want to like you. I want to do things you. I just don't, and I don't know why. Mm. That happens all the time. It happens with men and women. And I think, unfortunately for you, you're in this, and I don't feel bad. I'm being sarcastic. You're a beautiful woman who's used to, like, attention from guys and not used to rejection. And there's a lot of people like you who spend a lot of time trying to come up with all these, like, scenarios and like conspiracy theories of what's going on. But at the end of the day, there is someone who's just not into you, and that's okay, and it's going to be fine, and you're going to spend a lot of energy trying to figure out and making excuses for him, and he's scared and he just got out of a relationship in a different scenario, or it was the whiskey or the tequila. Like, he's just not into you, because if he was, you would see a different version of this guy. He wouldn't be making excuses. He would try to find solutions. He would, like, if it was the whiskey dick one time, he would the next day call you up and make plans and do something else. If it was really something about a past relationship he was just trying to get over, but he really liked you, he would say, like, I haven't been honest with you, and this is what's going on, but I do really like you, but that's why I've been a little weird, but I do really like you, so I want to keep things going. You know, he didn't do that. He said it, but he ultimately ended it with you. That was an excuse. Yeah. Like, that wasn't trying to get you to really understand him. That was an excuse to try to soften the blow of, I just don't like you.
Cop out.
It's not, sure. I mean,
or listen, just, yeah, it is.
He,
yeah.
Like, the truth is, like, it's, he's not a douchebag and it's not a cop out. He's just, he probably sounds like a nice enough guy who didn't want to be a dick and was trying to find out a nice way. And yeah, he should have told you before, but the truth is that's probably not the reason. And the reason why he didn't tell you before is because that's not the real reason. He just told you because he didn't want to be a dick. And he knows that he hung out with you and introduced you and took you home. And he was probably, again, trite. He probably thought you were a total, he checked all the boxes. He just wasn't that into you. You know? And that's okay.
Yeah.
And you're just going to have to meet someone else. Don't regret hitting on the guy. Don't regret putting yourself out there.
That's a good point.
Don't regret making the first move. These are all great things. You're a babe. You're going to find a bunch of guys you're going to try to hook up with you. I'm sure you're going to go through life feeling like, why do all these guys like me and all the ones I really like, I can't get? Because you know what? That's everyone. You're not the only one. Everyone feels that way. If it was that easy, you know, you wouldn't, that's why people like the chase, you know, like you're made to be attracted to the people who it's not as easy for you. That's why you find them so attractive, you know? And so you're going to be fine, but he simply just isn't that into you. I mean,
that's what I needed to hear.
But it's not a knock about you at
not
all.
Not in any way a knock about you. Yeah. Some people just aren't into people.
Yeah. And we waste so much energy and time trying to figure it out.
Yeah. And you talk to your friends and you go up to Rochelle and you tell the story. And she's like, well, he's clearly into you. He's totally scared. You should definitely like wait it out and figure, you know, like, and you listen, yeah. Because, like, I get it. Like, your girlfriends look at you and go, how could any guy not be into you? Of course it's not you. Like, the truth is, you're just a person, and you're a great person, and some people are attracted to other people. And just because you're a nice person who's good-looking doesn't mean you're entitled to everyone being obsessed with you. You know? And then, trust me, I have to remind myself of this.
Every day is a mirror.
That's everyone, right? Our egos kind of take over, and I can assure you, he's not into you. That's it. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And he thinks you're great, and he thinks you're neat, and he thinks he's into different people.
Do you regret calling in, or is this okay?
No, it's actually like, because everybody has done, I love you, by the way, but everybody has done what you've done and says like, oh my God, like you have your shit together. Like, how could he not like be whatever? I'm like, dude, but there's so much more to it than that. Yes. Like, I don't know why.
I got to like everyone who like has, you know, checked all the boxes. I don't want to, you know, and trust me, I don't know you, but I'm sure you're just like that with guys in your life. You know, you're just I don't want them. Not interested, you know? I want him. I don't know why I want him, but I just do. You know?
Because we met on my birthday. And
probably because he doesn't pay any attention to me, but.
Oh.
But yes, it's, that's your answer.
No, that's just what the doctor ordered. I need to hear that he's just not that into you. So,
I have not a prescription, a nickscription.
Yeah. Great.
Not good.
I didn't hate it.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. Best of luck. I know I say this a lot. You're gonna be fine.
Get out there and get yours.
But let this go. And he's definitely not scared. And his dick probably worked for someone else.
Oh no. Oh God.
But you're doing everything right. You really are. I love that you're making moves here. I love that you're not afraid to put yourself out there. And don't let this little minor hiccup of rejection change your confidence in yourself.
Yeah.
I love that. All right. Keep doing it.
All right. Take care.
Mwah. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
But we've been taught to think if they can't get it up, it's never about us.
It's definitely about you.
What? Nick, you shouldn't say that. Really?
Not definitely always. Everyone's different, but...
Oh, my God. We've literally... Everyone's always like, it's not you.
Listen, this is not a black and white thing, but like she told a story here of like...
She did.
He slept over 3 nights. He wasn't making moves.
No, you're right.
And like then
right.
She put herself out there...
Yeah.
And again, like, I'm not saying it was necessarily her, like, he maybe, like, again, he sounds like probably maybe a good guy. He's self-conscious about the fact that he's not objectifying her and the fact that here's just a girl who wants to have sex, right. So I'm just going to fuck her, right? Mm-hmm. And so he maybe has morals and he's just like, I don't really want to. I've been in that situation. I've been in a situation where, I mean, I won't even, like, you guys really want me to tell this story, but I've been in a situation where someone was really trying to have sex and I really didn't want to have sex. And, like, I couldn't get aroused. I was just stressed the fuck out. I was full of anxiety.
Yeah, and it
was
not okay.
And it was, it's different. But anyways,
what do you mean it's different?
It was just weird.
I'm sorry.
But it was like, and so I just felt uncomfortable because right. There's guys, you know, the society teaches us or we're told that, like, when a girl wants to have sex, guys put out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's because guys always want to have sex. We always want to have sex. We just want holes to, you know, and...
You just want what?
You know, the hole is... if the guy just has a hole, he'll fuck anything kind of thing. That, okay. Kind of that dirty, you know...
People we talk just about. Want holes.
We just want holes to fuck, you know? Like, and I, you know, some guys are like that. Some guys aren't. And when we're in a situation where we feel that pressure, we get anxiety and stress. And more than anything, stress does cause guys to be impotent. So there's that.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is there's a situation where he just doesn't like her.
Yeah,
and if he probably had his way, he wouldn't have gotten a situation where he wouldn't have, like, been naked with the girl who was trying to have sex with him. Seems like he was kind of trying to avoid that.
He does seem like that. Yeah.
So is it? It's, you know, so it's more than just it's you or her, but, like, you know, just same reason why when girls don't get, if you aren't into a guy, do you get turned on as easily? No.
Right.
And it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So. Mm. Yeah.
Wow. Tough.
I mean, we're not getting into the details of, like, sometimes you're having sex with someone and, like, he can't, like, come or whatever. Or he can't, like, finish.
Yeah.
That's not always you.
Yeah.
You know, like, some that there, you know, there's a lot of layers there.
Yeah.
This is not talking about whether, like, getting every woman listening to this being like, oh my God, it has been me. No, like, she was trying to force a situation that, you know, wasn't going her way and she wasn't paying attention to the details.
Yeah. We so often don't. Well, what a fun. I really enjoyed myself today.
I enjoyed it as well. Layers. That last one was fun. I sometimes really have fun with the simple ones.
Yeah.
In a sense of, like, you know, we've certainly have had the he's just not into you calls before, but, like, it's always interesting hearing about this because I thought this was going to go a different direction. You know, she painted it as this fuck boy,
right?
You know, no. Bartending, and that wasn't the case,
no,
right? Because, like, remember, I asked her, like, oh, I feel like this is going to be important.
Said, no, it's not.
And she, yes, you're right. And she was like, oh, no, it's going to be important. Like, she was expecting me to be like, oh, he's just some fuck boy, and, like, sounds like a pretty nice guy. But
yeah,
I don't know. Anyways, guys, as always, we have a lot of fun with you guys listening and calling in. So sending your questions to asknick@castmania.com. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Cast with a K.
To get your Nickscriptions.
Yeah.
Just like the doctor ordered.
Any final thoughts, Rochelle? Anything you want to share?
No, just be careful on the internet, guys.
Yeah, be careful on the internet. There are some weirdos out there. Yeah. There really are. And trust your gut. That's the thing about that, I will say, is, like, and we've had this kind of before, like, sometimes we get ourselves into situations. And then what we do is it feels off.
Yeah.
And instead of, like, saying, I'm going to trust my gut and I'm going to back away.
Yeah.
We keep doing it. Why? Because then we have to kind of admit ourselves that we've kind of gotten ourselves into a sticky situation. It's like, it's like being in a bad bet. You know, you keep putting money down because you have to admit to yourself, like, how did I get myself in a situation? It's embarrassing. People feel embarrassed. Like,
yeah.
To, like, ugh.
Especially a doctor. I mean, she's not a dumb lady.
How did I get fooled or catfished? And I'm not saying that's what's going on here, but there's something weird going on. And usually there are simple explanations.
Yeah.
And, so trust your gut. When things feel off, don't try to find reasons to justify how you got tricked. Smart people get tricked all the time.
Smart people do get tricked, man.
All the time. So don't trust the internet. Anyways, thanks guys for listening. We really appreciate you guys following along. We will see you on Wednesday. Have a great day.